go.
Don't can we all get along?
Okay. Yes.
Actually, we're all
good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon,
children.
It is Thursday, May 28th, 12:30 p.m. Welcome to Ambassador Philip Sanchez Public Charter School regular board meeting. Right, would you read the logistics?
I'm on the wrong page. Meeting logistics, the public is encouraged to participate in the meeting in person by dialing the conference link or clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing public comments at ambsanchezcharter2.org. The public may also provide comments during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Reminder, as required by state law, SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school's website.
All right, so the opening items are, I would like to call the meeting to order, and we will have the roll call to establish a quorum, please, Roy.
Arthur Rennie, absent today, German Patrick.
Here.
Becky Giacomazzi.
Here.
Philip Lee.
Here.
Armando Lopez.
Here.
Jillian, the Learning Center's roll call, please.
Thank you, Board Secretary. This is Jillian Rojas from the Charter Affairs team for the Learning Center's roll call. All Learning Centers, can you please unmute your line for the roll call? Do I have a representative for Fresno on the line?
You do. You have Susan Barola.
Thank you, Susan. This concludes the Learning Center's roll call. Thank you, Susan. You can place your line back on mute.
We will now have the Pledge of Allegiance led by Jackie Giacomazzi, please.
Ready, salute. Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll now have the staff introductions, please.
Well, thank you very much, Madam President. My name is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer. I would like to welcome the board of Learning Centers Online, those in attendance. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone. Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer.
Good afternoon, Shelley Haynes, School Superintendent.
Good afternoon, Gabby McPeel, Area Superintendent.
Good afternoon, Dara Bauer, CEO.
Good afternoon, Bill Thompson, Attorney for the school.
And good afternoon. This is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with LLAC.
Good afternoon, Rafael Aguilar, Director of State and Federal Programs.
Good afternoon, Sarah Luna, Regional Director of Data Assessment and Accountability.
Everybody here? All right. Moving on to item E, we will approve the agenda for the May 28th, 2026 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. May I have a motion and a second to approve?
So, go ahead.
I salute Phil Wynn.
I Armando Lopez, second the motion.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye. Do we have to take a roll call, like, just when we say
aye? Phil, we don't need a roll call for
that. No, all in favor, say aye.
It's okay.
I'm here. Did you say aye?
Aye.
Okay, so we have motion passes unanimously. in spite of herself. Item F, we're going to approve the minutes of the April 16th, 2026 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. Could I have a motion to approve? And a second, please.
I'll so move to approve the agenda. The minutes.
Jackie Giacomo, seconds.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Now we're on the consent agenda. All items listed under consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with the informed policies and practices of the charter school. The The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. So items 1 through 5, the board will be asked to approve the student smartphone and other private device policy. The board will be asked to accept the uniform complaints report for the 2025-26 school year, 0 complaints received. The board will be asked to approve the revised suspension and expulsion policy and procedure. The board will be asked to approve revisions to the 26-27 parent-student handbook regarding involuntary removal procedures. And the board will be asked to approve the revised school safety plan. Any requests to hear any of these separately? Discuss any separately? All right, then I will entertain a motion to and a second to approve the consent of agenda items 1 through 5.
Armando Lopez, so move.
Second, Philip Leonard.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Rod?
Public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes unless a member of the public utilizes the translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting.
Are there any members of the public that have contacted us or any written comments?
This is Ross Creek Carr to report there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
Thank you. So school reports and information, A, the finance update. Gita?
Thank you, board. So I'm just going to go over the line of credit that the school maintains. As you see on the top portion, you see how many line of credit. It's $1.5 million at a rate of 7.25%. It's this rate is fluctuable. It fluctuates with prime rate, and the expiration date is May 3rd, 2028. The report is updated as of May 15, 2026. And then we also do calculate all the financial health requirements ratios for the bank to ensure that the school is in a good financial health, so the bank allows the school to tap into the line of credit, which the school has always maintained, and they have maintained currently. And then on the bottom portion, you see LLAC's line of credit for $750,000 at a fixed rate of 6%. And this was also approved by the board through a promissory note for this fiscal year. And on both loans, the school has not drawn down on any of the line of credits. And then if any need in the future, we'll definitely look at other options to ensure the school receives the lowest interest rate. I have some updates on the budget, which I later on will review when I go over the budget with the board. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gita. Area superintendent update, Kagan Gill.
Thank you. I would like to present LP10 data report. The student enrollment is at 252. Overall credit completion stands at 4.51, and core credit completion is at 2.0. ADA utilization is at 89%. The one-year DAS rate is increasing each LP. Currently, the DAS one-year cohort grad rate is at 87% and is on track to reach 90% or higher by August 15th. Just a reminder, graduation is at the St. Mark Center on June 5th, and reception starts at 4 p.m. in the Foundation Room with the ceremony starting at 5:30. Thank you. Let's conclude my update.
Thank you, Gandhi. A report on the mathematics placement results by Sarah Luna, please.
Yes, good afternoon. The California Mathematics Placement Act of 2015 required our board to adopt a fair, objective, and transparent mathematics placement policy.
for the beginning of the 2016 school year. Policy was adopted with the creation of our charter, and minor revisions were approved to the policy in 2020. The policy addresses students entering ninth grade and includes a number of required elements to ensure equity in student achievement, including the following: considers multiple objective academic measures, includes at least one placement checkpoint within the first month of the school year, requires an annual examination of pupil placement data, requires an annual report be provided to the governing board, offers clear and timely recourse for each pupil and his or her parent or legal guardian, and requires a policy to be posted on each school's website. Based on years of student math assessment data and teacher observations, math continues to be a challenge for many of our students. To meet this challenge, our dedicated math teachers and tutors share best practices and participate in ongoing professional development opportunities in order to hone their skills and continue to provide support to students with their math skills and courses. For the 25-26 school year, our math placement for ninth graders fell into three categories. 31% of ninth grade math students placed in remedial math courses. 66% of ninth grade math students placed in Algebra 1, which is grade level. 3% of ninth grade math students placed in Geometry or Algebra 2, which is above grade level. Despite the challenges many of our students have with math, we are able to report this year that all ninth grade students progressed in their mathematics and were held back. We will continue to evaluate this data and report to the board next year pursuant to the board's policy. That does conclude my report, and I can take any questions.
Thank you, Sarah. Item D, LCFF Local Indicators Report, Raphael.
Yes, thank you for this opportunity. It's always a pleasure to share the progress of the schools here. So, with the slides popped up right there.
Next slide.
Do we have folk?
Next slide, yes. It's a PowerPoint for the local indicator report. Yes, thank you so much. Okay, here we go. So today I'll be sharing with you some progress of the local indicator report. Go to the next slide. So if I direct your attention to the center area of the slide there, this is what is included on the CounterPoint dashboard, which includes on the left side, which is the six state indicators, and on the right, the five local indicators. So on the left side, the six indicators include the academics or ELA math, which are pre-populated by the state, includes quantitative data, and addresses the LCAP. The five performance categories are the colors, blue, green, yellow, red, and orange there, and you can see here these ones that we report. So today I will be reporting on the local indicators on the right side, which are the five local indicators. These are populated by the school with analysis of progress from the local data and self-assessment. It includes qualitative and quantitative data presented in the local indicator report. Three categories that we choose are met, are not met, or not met for 2.5 years. On the next slide, please. I'd like to report the following. The next slide. Okay, thank you. So for priority number one, for basic services, we met the category. Priority number two, implementation of academic standards was also met. Priority number three, parent engagement was met as well. Priority number six, school climate was met. Priority number seven, access to a broad course of study was also met. This is evidence that the school is successfully addressing these local indicators. So that concludes my report. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Any questions for Raphael? Darren Bauer, do you have anything to add?
Thank you. Good afternoon, board. Just a quick update. We wanted to provide in this report on, we've asked our service provider, Lifelong Learning, to provide some additional services for us as it relates to legislation and advocacy efforts. And study for Ambassador Sanchez, while they've been responsive to our needs greatly in the past, things change, and given the state pressures, things like that, we want to add more services, and we've asked them for that. They are preparing a plan to help us provide those services, and we'll know more in the coming months, and we'll be able to share an update. Is that personal funding?
Awesome. Thank you, Darren. Item F, annual IRS Form 990, return of a reservation exempt from income tax and the California return for 2024. is filed. Geeta?
Thank you, Board. So this is just for the Board's information to let you know that you've received a copy of the Form 990 prior for it being filed. And I just wanted to notify the Board that it was filed timely. And if any questions, I'd be happy to discuss. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Geeta. Next, we'll have the 2026-2027 Board meeting dates. Thursday, August 27th, 2026, 1 p.m. Thursday, October 8th, 2026, 1 p.m. Thursday, December 3rd, 2026, 1 p.m. Thursday, February 25th, 2027, 1 p.m. Thursday, April 15th, 2027, 1 p.m. And Thursday, May 27th, 2027, 11:30 a.m. So those are our board meeting dates for the next year. Now we'll go to the public hearings. I'd like to request a motion and a second to open the public hearing.
I so move.
Jackie Johnson seconds this motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Do I need a roll call vote from each board member to get?
No. You don't need a roll call.
Oh. The board will hold a public hearing to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the revised personalized learning policy. So the public hearing is now open at 12:47.
And you might want to go ahead and read the second item too.
Okay.
Because we're opening the hearing for both.
Okay.
Yeah.
The board has allotted 15 minutes for this public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during this hearing. The board may extend this time upon majority vote. The board will first hear a presentation from the area superintendent. So that would be Gagandi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The purpose of this public hearing is to solicit the recommendation and comments of members of the public regarding the revised personalized learning policy. A red line copy of the revised policy has been provided in your board packets and reflects updates to align with current school operations, including clarifications related to student progress, re-engagement with one involuntary removal procedures. These revisions are intended to strengthen the consistencies across our independent study program by clearly defining expectations for student engagement, attendance, and academic progress, while also outlining a structured system of supports for students who may be struggling. The updated policy also clarifies procedures to ensure fair and compliant processes, including due process protection for students and families when changes in placement may be necessary. The effective date of the revised policy is July 1st, 2026, which allows time for staff training and implementation. That concludes my presentation. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Gagandeep.
Thank you.
The board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on the revised personal learning policy. Are there any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comment?
This is Rajpreet Kaur to report there was no members of the public who submitted a written comment or have requested to speak.
Are there any members of the public who submitted written comment to the board?
There was no written comments or request for speaking.
Hearing none, we will close this public hearing and move on to the next public hearing. The board will hold a public hearing to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the budget overview for parents and the local control and accountability plan for the 2026-27 school year. The public hearing is now open at 12:49. The board has allotted 15 minutes for this public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during this hearing. The board may extend this time upon majority vote. The board will first hear a presentation from Gagandeep Gill.
Thank you. The budget overview for Sarah outlines how Ambassador Sanchez will allocate funds to support all students, particularly those with high needs, low-income students, English learners, foster youth, and homeless students. On page 295, the total projected revenue is $8.2 million. $6.5 million is from the local control funding or not SCFF. $2 million is generated based on enrollments of high-need students, foster youth, English learners, and low-income students. $1.6 is from other state funds, and the remaining $45,458 is from federal funds. On page 296, the total budgeted expenditure is $8 million. $6.3 million allocated to actions and services in the LCAP. $1.6 million covers non-LCAP expenses such as audit, legal fees, short-term grants. Some of the spending areas include salaries and benefits, student intervention, curriculum and professional development, materials, hardware, and software. All planned initiatives are already underway. On page 297, it lists the four LCAP goals. The four goals are, one is to increase academic progress, to focus on improving outcomes for English learners, LTALs, low income, and foster youth. The second goal is college and career readiness, is to equip all students, especially high need students, with future ready skills. Third goal, increase student retention, maintain efforts to continue to keep students engaged and on track to graduate. Fourth goal is to increase educational partner engagement, continue promoting meaningful parent and partner involvement. On page 298, you'll see a title, Increase or Improve Services for High-Need Students in the LCAP for the 2025-2026 school year. This page shares an overview of each goal. In 2025-26 school year, Ambassador planned $1.8 million for high-need students and spent $1.9 million. The difference between the budgeted and actual expenditures of $61,845 allowed Ambassador's ability to increase or improve services for high-need students. Students receive support in critical areas of social, emotional, and academic needs through student-centered interventions such as counseling and tutoring. LCAP goals were developed in collaboration with staff, students, parents, and educational partners. The full LCAP follows this overview for a detailed review. Thank you. That concludes my update.
Thank you, Gagandeep. The board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on the board budget overview for parents and the local control and accountability plan for the 2026-2027 school year. Are there any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comment?
This is Rajpreet Kaur to report there was no members of the public who submitted a written comment or have requested to speak.
And are there members of the public who submitted written comment to the board?
No one has submitted.
All right, thank you. With that, we will close the public hearing. I need a motion and a second to close the public hearing.
I'll second Phil's motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. The public hearing is now closed at 12:53.
Good job.
And that takes us to our action items. Number six. The board will be asked to approve the revised personalized learning policy. Gagandeep, back to you.
Unless there are any questions from the board, I recommend the board approve the revised personalized learning policy that is presented during today's public hearing. Thank you.
I need a motion. Dr. Giacomozzi, so moves. And a second?
Second, Phil, please.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. The board will be asked to approve the 2026-2027 budget overview for parents and local control and accountability plan for the 2026-2027 school year. I need a motion, please. Oh, sorry. Sorry. I don't want to steal your thunder.
You're fine. If there are no questions at this time, the board is asked to approve the 2026-2027 budget overview for parents and local control and accountability plan for the 2026-2027 school year. Thank you.
Now, let's have a motion. I so move. Jackie Josselman.
Armando Lopez, second the motion.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. C, the board will be asked to confirm its acknowledgement that Arthur Rennie, Julia Kaiches, Jacqueline Giacomazzi, Phil Lane, and Armando Lopez have been reappointed as members of the board of directors by the Educational Advancement Corporation, the sole member of Crescent View South, Inc. for the term of July 1, 2026 through July 30, 2027.
Yes.
Thank you. I want to once again have the opportunity, which we get to do pretty much annually, to thank all of you board members for the excellent service that you provide on behalf of the officers and the staff. I get the opportunity to do that, and also to mention that you now been signed up for an extra year. So another year of your life has been devoted to this worthy cause. So if you're willing to do that, we certainly hope you will. Go ahead and take a motion and a second and a vote, Board Secretary.
Anyone have a comment on that? I'll just say I feel honored to be a part again. So with that said, I will request a motion and a second.
I so move, Philip Lien.
I'll second, Armando Lopez.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. The board will be asked to reappoint the corporate officers to serve at the pleasure of the board. Those would be reconfirming school signers, Jeff Brown, Corporate Chief Executive Officer, Jerry Vincent, Corporate Chief Financial Officer and Secretary. So, may I have a motion?
I'll so move, Armando Lopez.
And I'll second, Jackie Giacomazzi. All in favors?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, motion passes.
Thank you.
B, the board will be asked to approve the Proposition 28 Arts and Music in Schools Funding Annual Report for fiscal year 2025-26. Raphael?
Yes, good afternoon. Attorney Craig here. So as part of the annual reporting requirement, I am providing an update on how Proposition 28 funds were used to support arts and music education during the current school year for your approval. The funds were primarily used to support art and music opportunities to our students. The school remains committed to enhancing its art program by expanding instruction opportunities and enriching student learning experience in visual arts, painting, and crafts. These funds will also support instruction, technology, access, and curriculum updates. This concludes my report. Any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Any questions?
No questions.
All right, let's have a vote. I need a motion.
I so move.
And a second? Jackie Giacomazzi, so move second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. The board will be asked to reauthorize the officers of the corporation to award discretionary incentives to employees at various sundry times. Bagandeep, back to you.
Thank you. The incentives are discretionary and will be determined based on the current budget and overall financial health. Thank you. This concludes my update.
Any questions?
No. Like those long reports.
Okay. May I have a motion?
Also moved.
And second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. The board will be asked to reauthorize corporate officers and senior administration to make all reasonable and necessary business arrangements and enter into all reasonable and necessary transactions, including but not limited to contracts with vendors, employees, consultants, and other. So we'll just go to a vote on that, and I will request a motion.
It's Jackie Giacomazzi, I so move.
And second?
Dango Lopez seconds.
All those in favors?
Aye.
And opposed? Motion passes. Item H, the board will be asked to approve the local control funding formula for school year 2026 and 2027, which drives the primary source of funding for the charter school. Ita.
Hey, board. So the local control funding formula, or the LCFF, is the primary source of funding for the school. The funding has two primary components. It has a base rate that applies to all the schools, and depending on entirely on the ADA by grade span. And there's a second component called supplemental and concentration that depends on the percentage of schools' English learners, foster youth, and low-income students. The LCFF funding is the largest source of revenue for the school. It is essential for the budget as well as the LCAP development. For fiscal year 26-27, the LCFF funding formula will provide a total revenue of $6,584,405. The total includes a base funding of $4,520,300, or 68.6% of the total LCFF funding, and a supplemental and concentration funding of $2,064,105, or 31.4% of the total LCFF funding. And thank you for your consideration approving this funding source.
Thank you, Gita. May I have a motion?
Jackie Giacomazzi.
A motion. Second?
Second. Don't win.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item I. The board will be asked to approve the Education Protection Account spending determinations. Gita again.
Thank you, board. So the EPA funding is a component of the school's total LCFF entitlement. I will go over that. It is on the board budget report that I'll be presenting under the LCFF sources section. It's under object code 8012. For current fiscal year 25-26, the school will receive an EPA revenue of $64,746 for fiscal year 26-27, the estimated EPA revenue is $68,000. This funding must be used only for instruction and be posted on the school's website on an annual basis. And if you ever log in and check the website, you'll see that it's always posted there. So if any questions, happy to discuss, but I do consider thank the board for your consideration approving this funding source. Thank you.
May I have a motion to approve the Educational Protection Account spending determinations?
Armando Lopez, so move.
Jackie Giacomazzi seconds this motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. J, the board will be asked to approve the budget for the 2026-2027 fiscal year. Ita.
Thank you, board. So in the preparation of the school budget, you see it on your screen also, it's in your packet. It is based on the current funding information we received from the governor's May revision, which was just approved. The state budget was released in May 14 of 2026. But it might get adjusted in the future once the budget is assigned in June or in subsequent revisions during the summer. So the governor's May revision is materially stronger than the January's governor budget, but it should be read cautiously positive, not structurally secure. We don't know how it's going to be if any changes for June approval. Updated revenue estimates driven mainly by income tax gains. That's mostly capital gain taxes and and the fact of AI stock market boom increases, the Proposition 98 guarantees by guaranteed by another $6.4 billion above January estimates currently, allowing the state to fund more education priorities. For schools, the strongest funding increase comes from a 2.87% statutory COLA, plus the proposed 1.44% LCFF, they call it super COLA, totaling 4.31% for LCFF base, supplemental and concentration grants. The main revision also increases the one-time discretionary block grant from $2.8 billion to $5 billion. It buys out the planned June 2026 principal apportionment deferral, which I had mentioned, I believe, previously. So hopefully we won't have a deferral in June, and proposes a major special education funding increase with a base rate of $1,340 per ADA. It was originally, prior to this increase, at $999 per ADA. So that's a significant 5% increase. However, funding remains volatile and one-time revenues should not support ongoing costs. Now I'm going to go over the budget. We go back to the Form 62, I'll go over revenues and expenditures, but we start with the last page of the report, which is the ADA. And as you see that for the current fiscal year, the ADA is 323, and the projection for the upcoming year is 340, showing an increase of 17 ADA. This increase has a positive effect on some funding sources for next year. Now we're going to go over the budget for 26-27. The revenue is $8.2 million. This shows an increase of 10.3% compared to the current year, and it is due to multiple factors. Revenue for LCFF sources is projected to have an increase of 9.7% from $6 million this year to $6.5 million next year. This is primarily due to a super COLA of 4.31% in LCFF funding rate, the increase in ADA, and a minor increase in unduplicated pupil percentage that affects the supplemental and concentration portion of this funding. Federal funding is budgeted at 45,000, showing a decrease of 6% compared to the current fiscal year. This funding comes entirely from federal special ed entitlement, and funding is based on prior year enrollment. It's a count at CBEDS. On the state revenue in the budget, it shows an increase of 17.2% compared to the current year, from $1.3 million to $1.6 million, driven by an increase in state special ed funding rate and a student support and professional development block grant funding. This funding source also includes a moderate increase in mental health, mandated block grant, and lottery funding. Lastly, the school is not projecting a local revenue at this time. We don't have that information yet. So you'll see a visible reduction from current year compared to the revenue levels. On the expense side, the school is budgeting a total expenditure of $8 million, showing a 9.2% increase from current fiscal year spending. The budget includes an increase of $501,000 or 12% in salaries and benefits. This increase is driven by an increase in teachers and certificated instructional support salaries and health benefit costs. Purchase spending is budgeted at $459,000, showing a decline of 13.4% compared to the current year spending. This comes from spending reduction in school materials and supplies. Budget for operating expenses is 2.8 million, showing an increase of nine point eight percent compared to the current year. This increase is driven by higher spending on professional services, training, and communication. Budget for depreciation is $33,000, showing a decline compared to current year, as some assets will reach full depreciation before the end of the next year. Budget for other outgo is $67,000, and it includes a small increase in projected oversight costs and the same level of debt service costs compared to the current year. The school is budgeting for an excess revenue of $200,000 for fiscal year 26-27, with the excess revenue and the current year-end projected net position of $2.4 million. The school will end up fiscal year 26-27 with a projected net position of $2.6 million. Of this total ending net position, $66,000 is in capital assets, and the remaining $2.59 million is unrestricted, which is equal to 32% of the total budgeted annual expenditure. It puts the school in a very good financial health. And with that, I conclude my report. If any questions, I'd be happy to discuss with the board. Thank you so much.
Any questions or comments?
Thank you, Gita.
May I have a motion to approve budget for the 2026-27 fiscal year?
I so move, Bill Glenn.
Kathy Giacomozzi seconds this motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, the board will be asked to approve the consolidated application process and submission for all reports required for the 2026-27 school year. Raphael?
Yes, thank you. The California Department of Education uses the consolidated application, or CONAP, to distribute categorical funds from various federal programs to county offices, school districts, and directly funded charter schools throughout California. Annually, from mid-May to the end of June, each local educational agency using the consolidated application and reporting system submits the spring release of the CONAP. The spring release documents participation in certain categorical programs and provides assurance that the LEA will comply with the legal requirements of each program. Program entitlements are determined by formulas contained in the laws that create programs. The board is asked to approve the CONAP process and the submission for all the reports required for the school for the 26-27 school year. This concludes my report. For some questions, I'll be more than happy to answer.
Questions or comments? Thank you, Raphael. May I have a motion to approve item K?
I so move, Phil Glenn.
Armando Lopez, second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item L, the board will be requested to renew the revolving line of credit with Hanmi Bank for the 26-27 school year as necessary to ensure sufficient cash flow in accordance with the RLOC terms and applicable interest rates. Gita?
Thank you, board. So in the previous years, the school has secured financing through Hanmi Bank, which has consistently provided a credit facility at a competitive rate. Since 2018-19 fiscal year, the request has received annual board approval. For the upcoming fiscal year 26-27, the school is seeking approval for $1.5 million standard line of credit from Hanmi Bank. The interest rate will be determined as the higher of the either fixed 3.75% or the prime rate plus 0.5%. At present, the applicable rate is 7.25%, and that's based on current prime rate of 6.75% plus 0.5% margin. Thank you for your approval.
Thank you, Geesh. All right, I need a motion to approve item L.
Coffee Giacomozzi makes a motion to approve item L.
Second, Philip Leon.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item M, the board will be requested to approve securing a loan from Lifelong Learning Administration Corporation for the 26-27 school year as necessary to ensure sufficient cash. Ida.
Thank you, board. So this is another short-term financing alternative that the school uses to meet short-term cash needs. It is a low-interest alternative, and it allows the school to access additional funds if other financing sources are more expensive or not sufficient. It helps us as school to keep the financing costs low. The amount approved for the promissory note between school and LLAC will be the borrowing limit during the fiscal year. For fiscal year 26-27, the school is requesting approval to borrow up to $750,000 from LLAC as needed. The interest rate is at fixed rate of 6%, but the note also includes a lender's option to adjust the rate once during the fiscal year if the market rate changes substantially up or down. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gita. May I have a motion for item M to approve?
So move, Armando Lopez.
Second, Bill Wind.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item N. The board will be asked to approve the signers for all bank accounts. That would be, we're reconfirming Jeff Brown, Corporate Chief Executive Officer, Jerry Vincent, Corporate Chief Financial Officer and Secretary, Shelley Haynes, Superintendent of Schools, and Jeffrey Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations. May I have a motion to approve?
Jackie Giacomazzi, motion to approve.
Philip Lien, second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes on item N. Do we have additional corporate officer and or board members' observations and comments at this time?
Usually Jeff says something.
Mr. Brown, you're muted. We can't hear you.
Of course. that was really, I really said great stuff then.
I need to say we're not in a session.
I honestly appreciate, thank you, Madam President, for the opportunity. I'd like to thank those folks that are giving us these reports each week. I really appreciate them, or each board meeting. And one concern I have is the core subjects are a little below the 50% that you would like to see, but I know you're on your way. What's good news is the math reporting. That's really strong and ongoing. I appreciate that. Raphael, your LCFF reports, all indicators look positive. Therefore, I feel positive. I want to thank Gita Sharifi. Thank you for your financials. It's good to know that our dollars are in good hands and we know where they're going. So really appreciate that a lot. And as I leave, I would like to again congratulate the board for Ambassador Sanchez for coming back for another year. I'm looking forward to working with you, and I certainly do appreciate your oversight. So, Madam President, back to you.
Thank you, Jeff. Anyone else? Well, item 8, closed sessions. On advice of counsel, we will not be having a closed session. So we'll move on to closing items. Item 9, our next regular board meeting will be August 27th, 2026 at 1 p.m. And now I need a motion to adjourn this meeting.
I so move, Armando Lopez.
Second this motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, this meeting is closed.
Thank you. Great meeting. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you all.